I want to read from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, and I want to take you back into a prophetic allegory. Now, the text we're reading did have a natural historical application, but let me just read it, and then we'll comment on it. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when he beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me to, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. May God bless the reading of his word. Ezekiel, in this time, there's a theme in the Bible. God's people are either always going into exile or they're coming back from exile. God's either announcing that they are leaving or that they are returning. And in the midst of the natural historical context, of course, he's talking about in a time of great despair, he's speaking a word of encouragement that even in the midst of despair, God is going to reunify his people. But we're going to look at seven truths in this story of Ezekiel's vision in the midst of the valley of vision. Did you know sometimes God will take you to the valley of vision, but it seems initially to be a very negative place? Now, I want you to get a mental picture of this. In the human body, there are 206 bones. Now, you multiply that. Imagine a million bodies laying dead, each having 206 bones, and there being just heaps and heaps and disorganization, and each of these individual bones isolated from one another in a heaping mess, in a complicated, impossible mountain of bones, and they're dry, God said. They were very dry. So it's a pathetic picture of a huge valley full of dispirited bones. They're all dry, and you know, a bone is a symbol of something that used to have life but lost it. There's a lot of parts of our lives sometimes that used to be alive, but whatever happened, they lost their life. Bones are a symbol of what used to be vibrant and alive. And Ezekiel is brought by God into the valley of vision, and he's presented with this hopeless picture. It's a picture and a symbol of death on all sides. Isolation, disunity, disorganization, and hopelessness. Can you imagine looking at a mountain of bones? And there are seven steps that we see in the prophecy of Ezekiel, and I believe that they are seven preludes to what we are about to see in the body of Christ right now. I want to encourage you through this word today. God is up to interesting things in our time. We have come to an end of many old things, and we're just standing at the door of new things, just about to be opened before us. But I think this prophetic allegory of Ezekiel's vision can help us sort of find out where we are in the map of the mall of our life right now. And I want to mention some of these things that I just read about the text. Seven events that led to restoration. Now, the whole goal of this picture is a mighty army that is enlivened by God and is unified and trained in order to go and assault the enemy. And that is going to be the end result of everything God has been doing in the body of Christ and in our personal lives, is that we would wind up after a season of full restoration to be spirit-empowered people in union with our brothers and sisters in Christ, going forth to conquer in the name of Jesus. That's the imagery we have to keep in our mind. But there are steps to that imagery. Notice he's standing in the midst of bones, and the first thing God says to him is, speak life to these bones. Now, I don't know if you've ever been so low that you have to crawl for 14 hours just to get to bottom. You know, you're in a valley full of bones. Let's say there's a million people dead, each with their 200-some bones apiece, scattered all over, and it's an impossible situation. And God tells Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy, and I want you to say something that sounds incredible, namely, these bones are to come back to life. Speak to the impossible situation. And Ezekiel is powerful, powerless in his own strength, and you're powerless in your own strength. Now, he's not telling him to warp reality with his spiritual principles released through his faith statements. He's simply plopping the guy down saying, it's an impossible situation. I want you to say what I'm saying about it. And then he asks him a question. Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he goes, Lord, I don't know. You know. And I think God's looking at many of our lives and he's saying, hey, you think I can really bless you? Do you think I can really take this dead part of you and raise it up? Do you think I can really untie this impossible knot in your life? Do you think I can? And Ezekiel was honest. He said, I don't know, God. You know everything. You know, sometimes you can't even have faith for your own life that what is dead will be brought back to life. But notice he was told, prophesy to the bones. Speak to these dead bones and tell them what I tell you. And this is what I tell you. They will live. And I want you to see, so he has to like do something that looks extremely awkward and looks crazy, in fact. He has to start speaking to the bones. You will live. Yeah, you're going to live in the name of Jesus. Yeah, well, I bet he had a lot of confidence. But he could have read his faith confession. That probably boosted him a little bit. All of you bones, in Jesus' name, will live. You know, it's absurd, the picture. It's absurd in the flesh if you look at it in terms of our ability, which is zip. But it is not insane if we will say what God has told us to speak over the situation in our lives. Loved one, he's wanting us to wake up and become confident again. He's wanting us to be willing to believe that what is dead can live, that that mess can be somehow sorted out. Can you imagine all these bones? And they're not all neatly stacked. All the femur bones to the left, stacked to the ceiling. It's all mixed up. They're dry. It's hopeless. It's like you being in the Grand Canyon, looking down and seeing a billion ropes with a billion knots tied in them. And God says, just deal with that. Just go take care of that. Just speak over those ropes and those knots. Yea, you shall be untied. It does look absurd sometimes to speak God's word to impossible situations, but that's what he's calling us to do. So first, he spoke to the bones, but second, there was a great noise. Now, can you imagine? He's standing in this valley, and it's full of bones, and he speaks to them, and he says, you will live. You will live. And all of a sudden, there's a huge noise that comes. And in Acts 2:16, it says, there was a sound of a rush of a mighty wind on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God blew through the room. And there is a unique noise to every move of God in the world. Every new move of God has a unique sound and a unique noise, and we have to have God's help to interpret that noise and what it means. This man's scared to death. He speaks a word of life to these bones, and there's this huge cracking and this huge noise. And you know what? We need to be in a place where we're not frightened whatever noise comes upon us. The noise God's about to make in this next outpouring of the Spirit is not to frighten us. It's to scare the enemy. It's to scare the enemy. And every move of God has a unique noise. The deliverance movement had a unique noise about it. Every move that's blown through the worship movement has a unique noise. The empowering men movement has a unique noise. The women's movement has a unique noise. And it's our job to be sensitive enough to interpret the noise of the new move of God. And what does it mean? See, do you remember that story in the Gospels when there was the Father speaks to Jesus and says, I've glorified your name and I will glorify it again. And the Bible says, some said it thundered. And the others said, no, an angel spake to him. Well, you know, they were both wrong. When noises happen, you can misinterpret what the noise means. The Father spoke to Jesus once in the Gospels and said, I've glorified your name and I will glorify it again. But some groups sitting by heard that and they just heard noise. They just thought it was thunder. Some said it thundered. Some said an angel spake to him. It was something spiritual, but we couldn't quite make sense of it. There's a noise that is unique to each movement of God, and I pray that God give us the proper ears to interpret what's about to happen. This noise we are about to hear in the body of Christ has never been heard before. It's going to be magnificent. So there is a command to speak life to the bones, to the impossible situation, and trust God for the outcome. Secondly, there was a noise that occurred. But third, there was a great earthquake. Literally, the earth began to shake. And when God moves, there is going to be a great shaking. And that's already going on in the culture. Wake up and smell the coffee. There's a great shaking going on. And it's not just financial. The shakings of God are always given in order to reveal the nature of the foundation something's built on. Truly built homes don't worry about earthquakes. Jesus said, if you build your house on a rock, you don't have anything to worry about in the middle of the night. If you build your house on sand, you got a lot to worry about in the middle of the night. Because the storms of life will come and the shakings of God. We are in the midst of a shaking right now. But it isn't a negative thing. It's just, you know, like run and flee for the mountains. It's a good thing to know reality about you. It's a good thing to know that you've been building with wood, hay, and stubble. Initially, it doesn't feel too good. But in the long term, it's a good thing. God will bring the shaking that's necessary in order to reveal what's really true about us. And, you know, sometimes you think you're spiritual and God has to bring a shaking to reveal that you're not as spiritual as you thought you were. Right? Sometimes you think you're kind and then God has to bring a shaking to show you that you're not as kind as you thought you were. See? He pops the bubble of your false opinions of yourself. Well, there's a shaking associated with what God is doing in the world right now, but it's only to reveal what our foundation is. And if you've been building with wood, hay, and stubble, oopsie doodle. If you've been building with solid building materials, you've got nothing to worry about. But God, this next move of God is defined in terms of very well-balanced people who have survived everything. And you know the people you trust in the foxhole are the people that have been through the fire and have survived. And so this shaking should be embraced. Welcome the fire of God. It's not going to do anything but consume the wood, hay, and stubble and purify the gold and silver. So welcome the shaking that's coming. There was a voice spoken, a prophetic voice to bring life. There was secondly a great noise, and every movement has its distinct noise. Third, there was an earthquake, and the earthquake reveals what is of the flesh. There's a verse in Isaiah chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22 that speaks of a great shaking that God will bring. And in that day of shaking, that all the false gods of gold and silver shall be thrown away and we will cease from flesh. You know, this shaking that's hitting the body of Christ is to reveal the nature of anything that is man-made, man-contrived, whether it be bells, smells, incense, nonsense, ministries based in human strength, ministries based in human ingenuity, anything that is man-centered is coming down real soon. Anything where flesh is the arm behind it is going to fall because the shaking of the Lord will reveal the true nature of every foundation, whether it's a friendship, a relationship, a business, a ministry endeavor. There's a shaking to reveal the nature of that thing. And you know what? If it can fall, let it fall. Let it fall. Let's just fiddle while Rome burned, just like Nero did. If everything you have is falling down, just get your fiddle and go to the top of the palace and sing over it. Let it fall. Let's face reality and let's rebuild with some wonderful, wonderful things, some wonderful resources. God has already given us enough to build on. So let's build with strong gold and silver and all kinds of precious things. So notice next, after this great shaking, forth, the bones all come together. All of a sudden, Ezekiel, now imagine, put flesh on this. He's standing in this, just billions of bones. He's told to do the impossible, which is tell them they're going to live. He just obeys, and in that feeble attempt says, bones, you're going to live. There's a huge noise, an earthquake, and now all the bones just start flying all over his head. And they're flying together. They're reattaching themselves. And loved one, this speaks of the unity that God is working and birthing in the body of Christ right now. Notice the bones were disunified. They were isolated from one another. They were split off from one another, bleached in the sun. And God is done with the isolation. The next move of God is going to be characterized by the unity of the Holy Spirit as each bone is joined together and we all play our part in the body. No lone rangers. There is no such thing as one bone. You know what I mean? One Bone Ministries presents Bill Flickman. No, the body's made up of over 200 bones, and we need every one of them. And we need you, you little femur, or you big femur, or you little tiny little ear bone. Even if we can't see you, you're important. You can say, come on, I'm one of the 200 bones, amen. Well, yeah, see, look in the mirror. Say, I'm an important bone. That's right. Unity is necessary. You've heard me say it a million times. Union and unity are two different things. You can tie two cats by the tail and throw them over a line, and that's union. But that's not unity. You can tie a cat and a bulldog together by the tail and throw them over a clothesline. That's union, but that's not unity. Unity is what you see when you look at your car. All the pieces of your car put together and your car is parked out in the parking lot, that's unity. Okay? A bulldog and a cat tied by the tail thrown over a clothesline, that's union. There are a lot of people in union, but they're not in unity. And it's the difference. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some have. See, some people are just gathering together. That doesn't threaten the devil. Being assembled is different. Gathering together, you can gather any number of things in the room. You can gather all the parts to your car together in the parking place, over 3,000 parts. But an assembly is when those are all put together for the great purpose for which they were designed. God's assembling us together. He's bringing the bones from their confusing places. He's drawing them together, and it bespeaks the work of unity. John 17, Jesus said that they may be one as we are one, Father. That's still the unanswered prayer of Jesus. And so we see that God is working a work of unity in this prophetic allegory, and he's bringing the bones together. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Fifth, it says bone was joined to his bone. Not only is it unity, bone being brought together, but each bone is being joined to his bone. We need placement. We don't just need a femur bone coming into the forehead. That's not going to help. The bones have to be placed where they're supposed to be in the body. Thigh bones connected to the bone and the hum bone. Remember those old songs? We need placement. That means we need to have the foot bones all together in the foot department and not up in the ear department. And God has to do a lot of weeding out right now because a lot of people have placed themselves in the body of Christ where they don't belong. You've heard me say it before, sit where you're set. God sets you in the body where he sets you. Sit where you're set. A lot of people are trying to set themselves somewhere they don't belong and then sit there. And then you're sitting in somebody else's place. That's not going to work. This move of God is characterized not just by unity, but by placement. God is placing each of us. He's doing chiropractic readjustments. And he may have to remove a bone that belongs in the ear from your toe and move it up to the ear. Or remove your femur bone from the ear area where you've tried to shove it and put it right back where it belongs. Placement is important in this next move of God. Because if you're not a hand in the body of Christ and you're really called to be a foot, you know, I'm sure you like to wear gloves and you always had a secret deep desire to be a hand and all that. But you know what? It's time to get rid of sicko expectations and start seeing God do the placement work. And we need to be people who will sit where they're set. Amen. There was one young man that took the preaching class at Dallas Seminary, and he signed up for every semester, and the poor kid couldn't speak if a gun was loaded and aimed at his head. I mean, the guy just could. And finally, the professor said, son, you shouldn't be, you know, you should look at another vocation. He said, no, I have the gift of preaching. And the professor, you know, let him sit in on another semester. Finally, he said, son, you really need you're not called to this. He said, look, I have the gift of preaching. He said, well, let me put it this way. We don't have the gift of listening. That's a placement problem. There are people who think they're called and keep telling you they're called to be a foot and they're really a hand in the body of Christ. And we all know it. You don't know it. We all see it. You know, your foot walking around with a glove on it. You know, trying to do hand-oriented things. That's how strange it looks when our placement is off. God is trying to bring unity, and he's bringing placement right now. So just be pliable, all right? But I always wanted to be an artist, but we don't want to see you draw because they're stick figures and you're 60. get a life. So the shaking that is here is revealing the foundation upon which we're building upon. God's bringing unity versus union, assembly over gathering, but he's wanting to bring placement. So let's say, Lord, if I don't know what my purpose is, it's my purpose to discover my purpose. Where do you want me placed in the body? Not where do I want me placed in the body? And one of the best stories I ever heard, and this is, forgive me, but this was a crazy mother who raised her little boy. God bless him. This boy had one eye and half sense. He did, bless his heart. But she wanted him to be a preacher. So she took this little boy to all the preaching seminars and just couldn't figure out. Boy could barely talk, let alone put two thoughts together. And the mother had a fantasy. She wanted her boy to be a preacher. So this kid's 16 years old. He can barely, you know, speaks in monosyllabic tone. I mean, he just can't even communicate, let alone. But mama wanted him to be a preacher. And so she's on the front row looking at all these preachers preaching. And she looked up on the platform and saw three preachers sitting down. And she looked close and she said, "That's it. It's the preacher socks. Look, they're all wearing those kinds of socks." So she went and bought her little boy a pair of those socks because that's the key. Loved one, that little boy was no more called to preach than I'm called to tap dance. Placement is everything in the body of Christ. So if you're a hand, be the best hand there is in the body of Christ. If you're a lung and no one sees you and you don't get all the attention, but lungs are important, you know. Just because they're not featured on TBN doesn't mean they're not important. Okay. So placement is very important. Sixth, notice next, after the bones were brought together in unity, placed bone upon bone in their place, it says flesh came upon the bones. All of a sudden he's watching and there are the nerves and there are the muscles and all the sinew and finally the skin. And it's a symbol of complete and utter restoration. The work God is doing in his army right now is a work of complete and utter restoration. Have you noticed the literature over the last 15 years in the body of Christ? The theme has all been healing. Healing the inner child. Be a holistic person. Be balanced. Don't be a spiritual goony bird. Find out about your past issues. Work through your past issues. Get healing, because the imagery of Ezekiel's army is an imagery of complete restoration. God doesn't want a little bit healed in our lives. He wants everything overhauled, because it's about time that we get healed of some of this stuff. It's about time you get healed of that family of origin issue. It's about time you get healed of that divorce that happened 30 years ago. Complete restoration. That's the time it is right now. God wants to pull the thorns out and bring a complete sense of healing, because we're more usable in the hand of God if we've endured hell, but we've been restored and we've come through. It's time to come through. It's time to get over with some things. All right? When you're in the military, you have to get over some things real quick, especially when there's a firefight going on. All right? When the flares are sent up at night and the enemy's swarming over the mountains like locusts at you, it's not time to talk about the Christmas your mama didn't get you the lollipop you wanted. It's time to get your weapon out and aim it at the enemy, and let's take care of business. God is bringing a complete work of restoration. That's why this outpouring is different than any other, because the vessels he's going to use, they're not perfect, but they're mature. They've allowed a work of restoration. Spirit, soul, body, they're more on the balanced side. And see, that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw a complete work of restoration brought before him as the flesh came upon the bones, but that wasn't enough. Because all of that combination, and there was still, the army was still laying around dead. They were fully restored. They had everything, but a toy without the battery is useless. And so Ezekiel, the last thing he saw of this great army was God himself breathed life. All right? So we start with a prophetic word, which sounds crazy. We hear a great noise. There's a great shaking. Then there's a great bone drawing together of unity. And then there's placement. And then all of a sudden, we're confronted with a complete and utter restoration, but no life. This last outpouring of the Spirit of God is going to be empowered by God himself. Just as he put his mouth upon Adam in the beginning and breathed the breath of life and he became a living soul, so this army is laying around. Now there's more order because the bones have been come together. Now there's flesh everywhere. Now there's just like a million bodies laying there. But they're lifeless. And a lifeless army is useless. So the last thing he sees is God breathing life into this army. And all of a sudden, this mighty army, this majestic army, stands up on its feet in unity, assembled by the Lord himself. And the last thing Ezekiel sees is this mighty army marching in unity together, trained and focused with a vision to destroy the enemy. But it's a God-empowered army. I'm so tired of flesh-empowered armies in the body of Christ. Flesh-empowered movements. Amen? Human ingenuity movements gone mad. All right. I want to see stuff that God is giving life to. I want to see people placed where they belong, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, you can talk and you can have talents, gifts, and abilities, but you can't fake the anointing. Come on. You go into a funeral parlor, and I don't care how pretty grandma's hair is and how well they did her lipstick, she is a dead corpse at the funeral parlor. And you can dress up a corpse and you can put makeup on a corpse, but it's every inch a corpse. And that's what Ezekiel was confronted with. And there's so much done in our lives. God has accomplished so much. He's brought us to a place of full restoration, but we're still awaiting his breath. So Ezekiel was told, Son of man, prophesy to the wind to give life. And all of a sudden, the army arose. God's army is just about ready, loved one. Take heart. You're a part of it. You're a bone somewhere in there. Amen. Wave at me if you're a bone for Jesus. That's right. A bone head, I see a few. But you need to realize that there is an empowerment coming in this next move of God, which is not human. It's not contrived. It isn't humped up or pumped up. It is the Lord God himself who will empower this great army of the outpouring of God's Spirit. And you and I, we can take hope because we belong to something greater than ourselves. And it's so exciting, and it's so majestic, and I'm so honored to be a part of it. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're the one who brings the confusion and the isolation of all of those dried bones back together after a full and complete work of restoration, and you breathe your own life and power into this mighty army that will soon be walking arm in arm, forgetting all their distinctives and focusing only on the main things as the plain things. Thank you that you're going to use men, women, boys, and girls who name your name, and you're going to bring us back together and assemble us together as a mighty terror to strike fear into the heart of the enemy. And we give you praise in advance for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,